It's a beautiful morning.
Good morning, Barcelona. You're listening to 106.9 FM, Radio Canal Barcelona, English Radio in the Morning. I'm Virgil, and today we're following up on the question we started last week of, is Catalonia broken? Last week we spoke with Miguel Strubel on much of the historical perspective of the movement, but the question we still have remaining, has the economic and cultural engine that formed part of the impetus for self-determination started to spiral down? Is independence a possible reality? To help us to really answer those questions, there's a former guest and a former international chair of the Catalan National Assembly, Montse Deban. Welcome again, Montse.
Thank you very much, Virgil. Hello, everybody, and I'm very happy to be here again.
We're happy to have you again. Well, many people, myself included, believe that we were on the precipice of a new age for Catalonia, that we'd be able to finally have control of our lives and our future. But however, the disregarded elections, imprisonment of our elected officials, exile of our president, and imposition of Article 155 have left us all with a sense of ennui, hopelessness, and doubt for the future. Can you give us some hope?
Yeah, hope. We should never lose this hope. We still have this hope, and hope will come, like I told you in previous occasions, from the people. Because this feeling, I mean, maybe we feel ourselves like kind of a standby. But every Friday at lunchtime, at 12 o'clock, and every Sunday for other people, for example, the civil servants exit their jobs and they stand in yellow, with yellow ribbons, in their offices, just to ask for the, for the freedom for the political prisoners and from the exiles, and this is the people acting. Today there's an event at the University of Barcelona, just for this reason for freedom. So the people is not stopping. People continue asking for this freedom that we are pursuing. And the people is the real engine. So this is what's going to keep this hope alive. And some people see in the next months some new opportunities to attempt to it. For example, with the court with the audiences for the imprisoned and the exiles. Also, if Brussels and Germany and Switzerland also deny the retrieving these exiles, there are several opportunities. Also, in 2019, the elections, the local elections, also the European elections. So, I mean, there's a lot of opportunities in the next months, next year. And hope is never lost.
Well, the thing is interesting, you know, you mentioned something that I didn't know, that the civil servants on Friday stand in protest.
For all the months, these people have been, our leaders have been in jail. This injustice that has been put on their lives. We all civil servants and people working for the community and people also not only civil servants but people just stand and the families and the friends of those imprisoned stand every Friday. I mean, every Friday in yellow, in black, with ribbons, chanting, reclaiming this freedom.
Now, are they doing it at their workplaces? Or are they doing it at
their workplaces? Sometimes gathering in a certain spot, like for example, the before the city council, or just in their places, just in the street, standing, and then just silence with a chorus asking for freedom. And
I think that, you know, that's an encouraging thing. I think the other thing that's encouraging, at least, from my perspective, you know, we talk about our people in exile. The fact that Germany has not been willing to turn over, you know, President Puigdemont, you know, mm-hmm. says something that they don't concur, obviously, with what our courts have been saying, and no one is really forcing them to do it. So I think that is at least a way of outside protest.
Yes, it is a protest. And also, I think there's some cases not strictly related to politicians, but for example, for the rappers, like Valtonyc, and the rapper and Pablo Hasél, and also this guy from the CDR that is also left to Brussels, I think. Or, I mean, these people just pursued because they sang something against the crown.
Right.
This is unbelievable outside Spain. So this is something that it's going to help a lot in the next months. I'm sure about that.
Well, we'll pursue the thought with Monse in a few minutes. But again, all of our listeners, feel free to call into the show, talk with Monse, ask questions, comment. You can reach us at 93-468-5555. We'll be back with more right after this. And that was Nice and Easy by Walter Beasley. We're talking about Nice and Easy. Probably something that, you know, we're hoping is going to be easier for us is that we have a new prime minister. Rajoy has drifted off into the shadows, hopefully. And we have now Pedro Sanchez. Now, there's been a lot written recently about him and his ability to pull together a government. What do you think about this emerging leadership that he's bringing, and what about his ability to be able to craft a different kind of government than we've had before?
Well, I don't think this is really, from the Spanish perspective and the Catalan perspective, a real different leadership. Because it's just a maneuver of the deep state, which we all already know.
Okay.
From the European point of view and internationally, maybe it's seen as fresh air. Mm. I'm aware that the movements in the Spanish government were observed quite closely by the European leaders, and also, I mean, the European Union leaders, but also the European state leaders. Because having a partner down in Southern Europe that had shown to be such a corrupted party, and also the independent, the justice independence that Spain has been scaling up in dependence, actually. I mean, the lack of separation between the different powers. This is something that I think the leaders should have seen with some concern, though they haven't shown it, because they kept extreme loyalty to Rajoy. No, nobody could understand that,
right.
Excepting for the gifts and the awards that they've been receiving, and like kind of buying their those disloyalty. Also, the fact that Juncker, the president of the European Commission, has around him this strong apparatus of protection, also participated by the Popular Party, also helped to keep that loyalty. I don't know what will happen now with this kind of structure. But anyway, here in Catalonia, what we see is that Pedro Sánchez is just another movement from the deep state. Mm. And you only have to watch at his ministers. Some of them have been very, very short time in the... In their places, like, I'm sorry, but Mr. Maxim Huerta was not, was not appropriate for the position. But you see Mr. Borrell, and you see the other ministers that have already spoken about Catalonia, and what you hear is just that the state speaking, because
right.
It's not a matter of a party. It's keeping everything all tight against any attempt to break what they understand by the territory. So from the Catalan point of view, this leadership is not a major change. Although some of the gestures, some of the signs can be read otherwise. For example, starting to have a little dialogue. But at the end of the day, the real concern in Catalonia will not be will not be satisfied.
For me, the thing that we looked at that I thought was interesting is that many of the, I won't say the lesser parties, but the smaller parties have aligned with him, you know, like Ciudadanos and others that have seemingly an anti-corruption stance, but they're now part of this new coalition. Are they going to be able to have an effective impact on him to change things?
I hope somehow, yeah, but then we should have seen something in the composition of his cabinet. And I'm not sure. I mean, there's some clear signs in his cabinet, for example, addressed or sent to Ciudadanos with Mr. Borrell, or to the European Union with the economy minister, or to, for example, the Popular Party with the justice minister, the interior minister. Mm-hmm. So I think he's sending like signs to everybody, but for example, he had the non-confidence motion against Rajoy with the Basque country parties. But then he puts Grande Marlaska as interior minister, who had a very bad, the Basque country has very bad memories of Grande Marlaska. So and Borrell with Catalonia. So we helped, our parties helped Pedro Sánchez to win the motion, but then the signs from his cabinet are not good enough to keep this confidence.
Interesting. Now, I saw an article in the Financial Times the last couple of weeks that showed him as a leader of vision and great political skills. What do you think?
I think that maybe he's sending some signs to the international community as having these skills. But in, I mean, okay, for the moment being, he's deserving the 100 days of confidence. So everybody deserves that. But, I mean, we already know Pedro Sánchez. He's been changing his mind all the time. So he's not as strong. He hasn't have a strong leadership on that sense. He just changes depending on. And this we have seen that from the moment he just won over Susana Diaz. Mm. Everybody was happy here because Susana was not liked here. But then he has been changing and getting close to Ciudadanos day after day because the only thing he wanted was the votes. So now he's showing himself as the saver. But just a couple of months ago, we had to read what he was saying. So his leadership, I mean, it's not strong enough. But anyway, he's been able to win over Rajoy, which at the end of the day is a good news because this kind of party couldn't be at the Moncloa for longer. And I think that the signs, he's been very clever sending the right signs outside in terms of getting closer to some countries like Germany or France in terms of international politics or for the Eurozone or the economy, signs that he's addressed to the European Union. But from the Spanish point of view, his leadership is not strong.
I think it's interesting point. He's a political animal, as we say in the States, that he does what he has to do to give the right, send messages that don't necessarily have actions to back
them up.
Well,
I think Rajoy is a political animal. He has just been lucky at that moment because he had lost all opportunities. I mean, 2 months ago, he may be a survivor, but I think that the political quality of Mr. Pedro Sánchez has yet to be proven.
Interesting. Now, one of the things that obviously is going to be a point of contention is the reimposition of Article 155. Now, what signs has he given that, you know, either he's going to be in favor of it or opposed to it or stand on the sidelines?
Well, yesterday we had the Urdangarin subject about entering prison, etc. And 2 days ago, also this judicial case, and at the same time, the Guardia Civil, the paramilitary police, was entering again for the 35th time some of the offices of the Generalitat of Catalonia, the government of Catalonia, looking for misuse of public money related to the one of October 1st. So nothing changed. So what I say is that 155 will be like a threat there for the whole time that for every time the Catalan government attempts something. It's like a threat there. It's like, just behave, otherwise, da-da-da. So this is really something that they have tried. They've seen that they can live with it. They don't, I mean, this doesn't give us a major burden in terms of voting, I mean, in terms of popular support. So it's fine. And this is a threat that will be always there. But on the other hand, we have the Catalan parties that have kind of relaxed a little bit. Because they, I mean, of course, it's human having fear. So being afraid is something that is completely understandable. So they're just expressions of intentions, but real movements still to be seen.
I think, again, you know, you bring a key point, that fear factor that kind of freezes us in place. I mean, we've seen significant people, you know, being put into prison with no chance of bail, you know, have been there for months.
Yeah.
And at some point it goes down there and you're saying, okay, how far on the line do I want to go? How far out there do I want to expose myself? How much of a risk do I want to take? And it kind of translates itself back to saying, is this a fight worth fighting, or should we change and do something else?
Yeah. These days, it's been 8 months since Jordi Sánchez and Jordi Cuixart are in prison. This is major. So I still remember, because I was part of the secretariat at that time, the permanent committee at that time, and I remember Jordi Sánchez at the assembly telling us, okay, I'm going to the audience and hoping whatever happens, just I'm fine. But it's 8 months. Nobody thought about those 8 months at that moment. Maybe 1 week, maybe 2 weeks, but, you know. So fear is normal. And this has led some parties, like the parties now in the government, to attempt another strategy, like increasing the support to independence, but not doing major attempts for the moment, because still the threat is there. But the threat will be there for years, I think, because we won't change the Spanish state. So one of the opportunities for the next month, talks about a referendum. This won't happen, because a referendum should be approved at the Senate as well. Every change in the Constitution should be approved at the Senate, and the Senate is still the same, despite the motion.
Right.
So nothing's going to change. So, the parties are kind of freezed, but the population is not. So population is still asking and claiming for these actions to be pursued.
We'll be back to talk with our guest more right after this. And there was Ibalik by Musique Noire. Well, you're listening to 106.9 FM, Radio Canal Barcelona, English Radio in the Morning. And we're here with Montse Deban talking about what's happening as a result of the referendum in October. Now, we saw recently that El Periódico, their Center for Opinion Studies, held a survey in which those who say they would want to secede from Spain has dropped to 40% compared to about 49% at the beginning of October. What's your opinion on that?
Well, it's good that there's some data because, like one of the fathers of the big data said, if you don't have data, your argument is just another opinion, so it's good. So the Periódico gives data about that, but I'm afraid that we'll know, I mean, usually, how those surveys conducted by journals work. I mean, just go ahead, vote because against is winning or pro is winning. So,
it reminds me when I was back in business school, I had a professor. He said, when you're talking about data, there are three categories: lies, damn lies, and statistics. So it's like he says, you can always make the numbers say what you want them to say.
Yeah, exactly. So now I'm going to statistics, and I will refer to the surveys conducted by the Center of Opinion Studies in Catalonia last month in May. It said that 48% of the people that was participating in the survey wanted Catalonia become an independent state, and 43.7% didn't want. And this means a difference regarding the previous survey conducted by the same institution that was just the opposite. So this is good news. The support to independence is growing, despite everything, or maybe because of everything.
Yeah.
Also, the support to the different parties was more or less the same, and also the people backing independence community voting to the different parties was more or less the same. But there was also an interesting thing is that in terms of which option you prefer, remaining in Spain or being in an autonomous community, or so an independent state is against the chosen option, and much less the option of the federal state inside Spain or an autonomous community. So, in terms of figures, I think we would refer to the statistics and not to the lies and the damn lies.
Right. Well, now, one of the things that was also talked about is that there were people who did express an outright opposition to Catalan's separation. But there are others who were just simply worn out by the never-ending cycle of tension and failure, you know, the fear we had just talked about, that they'd, you know, maybe in their hearts they would like to be separate, but the battle has worn them down. Is there another option that we can have, if not independence? Is there something else that we can look to kind of bring us all together so that we have the higher numbers?
This brings back again the question you asked first about Pedro Sánchez, also some of the signs. Now we are listening people talking about the 2006 Statue of Autonomy. And some people would maybe be happy about that because it's just like getting calmed and everybody... Mm-hmm. But that's not the answer at all, because we have to recall, and I would say to that people that say, okay, let's just pact and make an agreement. Let's recall that the Spanish state, no matter what was the party, the government at the moment, is one of the main non-compliers of the European Union agreements in all the European Union. So it's one of the non-compliers states that has accumulated a larger list of non-compliances.
There's a history of just not complying with anything.
I mean, I'm sorry, who believes him? Or, who believes the Spanish state? And, I mean, we do not believe at that point. The agreements are like with paper. I mean, I'm sure it's not. So this is something we should also keep in mind. No agreement would be fully satisfactory for Catalonia, because Catalonia will also be having this role in Spain the role that we have been having in the last years. So again, for these people, I would say maybe we are tired of acting, we are tired of going to demonstrations, we are tired of kind of articulating, expressing, etc. But once, if we have the chance to definitely deploy a republic, we will see all the benefits, because we will be, for example, those laws that were suspended by the Constitutional Court regarding energy poverty or gender equality or climate change, etc. Those are for people, and those are good for the society. So let's finally be able to put it in place, and we will see that everybody will... there's another... political party, Comuns, that is shown not in pro-Indy, not pro-Union. And it's like almost 22% of people voting this party will back independence. At the end of the day, we are not sure of which will be the result. So let's have this referendum, which, like I said, I don't see it. But otherwise, let's have the republic deployed.
Okay. Now, when I've been out in the street recently, talking with shopkeepers, restaurant owners, commercial service providers, they said that they believed the independence effort has hurt their business. Would you concur with that?
Well, the Catalan GDP has grown over the GDP growth in Spain and in the average in the Eurozone. So maybe individually... I don't have the data, but you have to look at the Catalan economy. It's growing, and it's growing at a rate that is higher than in the rest of Spain. The GDP has grown 3.3% the first 3 months in this year, which is more than Spain and more than the Eurozone again. So the industry, the services, the construction, the building is leading this recovery. Main multinationals are putting their hubs in Barcelona. So the big figures don't show this lack of confidence of international investment. The big figures don't show this decrease in the economy powerhouse.
Which is a good thing. We'll be back to talk more with Monsi right after this.
Okay.
And that was Christian McBride and his big band with Eustachud. Well, we were talking a little bit about the economic factors. One of the things that's really interesting is that, you know, the Catalan economy has grown 3.3%, which is more than four times that of Spain, more than eight times that of the rest of the European Union. What's been fueling that growth?
Well, I think it's all the Catalan assets, all the dynamism that, I mean, here in Catalonia, we can see also the leadership in terms of innovation, the Catalan spirit of entrepreneurship. I think it's a little bit everything. That's what I would say. Imagine what we could do with these 40 million euros that every day go to Madrid and don't never go, I mean, go back only in a small part in terms of in investment
that
not always goes
back,
to the,
right.
Yeah. So, I think it's the Catalan industrial fabric is made of SMEs that have been struggling for years to grow despite the, the absence of a state that is helping them. So they're used to go abroad and to sell internationally, to use the R&D in their structures, in their processes. These universities that we have that are top level in Spain and some research centers top level in Europe and in the world, one of the major products that deliver to society is qualified people from all over the world that come study here and also integrate in this country. So this is what folds up this economy.
Well, I think we look at it from the standpoint that you and I know the biotech sector is probably the strongest in Europe.
Yep.
You know, our research, medical research centers here are really centers of excellence. Yep. The investment from the digital and technology communities has been, you know, major, and we've seen, you know, foreign investment from China and Russia because of the location. You know, Barcelona is a conduit to the rest of Europe and the rest of the world. So, these kind of things, I think, you know, are underreported in many cases that people
Absolutely.
Don't know.
Absolutely, yeah. There's some things that amazing figures that not always are set with the energy that they should. For example, as members of the European Union, Spanish state receives, of course, money from the European funds in terms of projects, competitiveness, etc. Catalonia, we could say that is a net contributor to the European Union because provides and receives, there's a balance in that sense. We are a net provider. But when we look at the figures, and you mentioned the research centers and the universities I mentioned before, if we were considered as a country in the ranking of countries receiving, for example, the grantees of excellence, the European Research Council grants, which is something I work in my everyday work, I just gather these figures. For example, Catalonia would be the second country in the European Union in terms of grants per population.
You mean received?
Received. Over Sweden, over and just only Netherlands and Switzerland, and Israel, which is Israel and Switzerland, not a European Union, but they're members participating in that. But only Netherlands is over Catalonia in terms, I mean, inside the European Union. And also in competitive funding, in the last years, Catalonia has multiplied per 30 what it has received in terms of research projects. Funding, European funding for research projects for our centers. Whereas the European budget has only multiplied per 7. That means that we've been considerably more efficient than other regions and countries in Europe. And this is something that we all must know. And this has been despite everything, despite not having an state helping us.
I mean, so, you know, we had our hands free to do what we were able to do.
Exactly. This is what Professor Mascolelli, who was a former Ministry of Economy and Competitiveness here in or Economy and Knowledge, sorry, here in Catalonia. And he said that, just let me start the race after the others, but just leave me my hands free to run. And this is what we are asking.
I think, you know, also the thing we talked about here is that, you know, we're getting, and I'm getting some information, you know, that I didn't know about, which is, you know, key. We've talked in the past about the inability to market ourselves well, mm-hmm. to get our message out, which is also part of why many people in other parts of the world don't understand what the struggle here is all about.
I think that, yeah, the world is so complex and there are so many things to look at that we were just a part of the problem. And besides, we were a problem for Europe. So let's not move that a lot. Let's not listen to those guys because it would like be opening a box that we know we don't want to. But now, with all the judicial cases and all the evidences that Spain is acting like a non-democratic country, that the quality of democracy in Spain has been, losing a lot of quality. This is the moment to just go abroad, go and market first our values again, which we already did, but now it's more evident in contrast to Spain, Spanish state, not Spain. I mean, I don't want to talk the people there because there's a lot of people that do not like being there in the terms that he's acting in the last years. So first, talk about values, talk about capabilities, like we already mentioned. It's having a good partner for competitiveness in Europe, and don't suffocate it. This is what, and we have to work, but also we have to act, be proactive, and start at denouncing all these. It's lack
false
of
rumors.
False rumors, and just being proactive also in terms of judiciary actions.
No, I think the thing is, you know, one of the obvious things is, you know, after 1 October, all of these companies were announcing they were leaving Catalonia and setting up offices other places. Well, obviously something's happened that, you know, the supposed crash of Catalonia hasn't happened.
Because it was a lie. Because it was not true. One of the companies, let's take it just for example, Freshenet.
Right.
could you move the vines? So it was political, blah, blah, blah. So it's, of course, some hubs moved, but offices, offices. But this is something that has already been like that in Catalonia for years, because the main decision is in Madrid. It's like propaganda at that moment. And also having the royal house calling themselves to the companies, offering them to move. It's obvious that the companies were not willing to move from here, because it's like the place to be, like you mentioned, right, in terms of international funding and investment. So at the end of the day, only those companies of the regime were moving, not their facilities, not their vines,
right,
not their vineyards, actually, because it's a huge amount of business they have here.
And not their workers.
Not their workers, because the facilities are here, the workers are here. So it's just propaganda. Yes. And at the end of the day, like those figures we were mentioning, everything, at the end of the day, they happen to be just false, fake rumors.
We'll be back with some closing comments right after this.
I wish I could save you. Seems like it shouldn't be so hard. Wish I could replace you. Maybe we could leave it all behind. Oh, I wouldn't mind. Let me introduce you to all of the ways I can let you down. Let me seduce you, and maybe we can get this.
And that was State Line by The Dip. Well, this has been great. We don't have enough time. We've had more time and more days to talk, but we'll be back with you to talk about more. But if you had a final message that you want to send out to the audience, what would it be?
Well, you started this this interview asking about a semblance of hope for the listeners. And I will end up with this semblance of hope as well, because like we say, facts speak by themselves. And, well, that's a message of hope, saying that if we had this 40 million euros every day here in Catalonia. And I mean, the companies want the money. The companies want to make money. So they are where money can be made. Also, they want to be near the decision centers. So that's why sometimes they move to Madrid and the big multinationals are in Madrid. The big companies are in Madrid. But if we are a state, when we will be a state, the decision center will be here. So we will have the company, the big companies, the workers, the money. And also, decision centers in Europe will be also closer. So that's, I mean, our final message of hope is that the economy is working fine and the, like the facts we already mentioned, but the independence will bring for sure huge opportunities to make them growth.
Well, I think it's, you know, it's a great message, and I think it's one that we can live with, and I think gives us the hope to move forward.
Thank you.
Again, thanks for being here. Thanks for all of you for listening, and be sure to follow us on Facebook. Check out our postings from not only our show, but English Radio Tuesday, English Radio Wednesday, English Radio Friday. And we'll be back here next Thursday with more of everything. Have a great one, Barcelona, and I'm going to take you out with another great song to make your day.